Hi. I was saying to Sandra earlier today, I'm the only thing left standing in the way between you and a turkey. But I hope that you can hear me anyways. I remember all sort of growing up, I've been in the church my whole life, and growing up when I knew my mom had a roast beef in the oven or a turkey dinner, we usually had it on a Sunday afternoon, and the speaker would get up and you're like, you almost be pleading, pray, Jesus, please make him go fast. Because I was thinking about turkey and gravy, and that's usually the time that you get the longest sermon of your life is when you want to go home and eat your food. But anyways, we'll see what happens today. I won't make any promises. I think the last time I spoke to Joe was here. Joe led worship. Boy, it's just a pattern forming. How is everyone this morning? Good? I only got... Vivian was the only one that responded there. Oh, I didn't hear you. Oh, how is everyone this morning? Fine, good. I know there's just a couple of new faces I saw today, so just so you know, my name is Carrie, and I'm one of the leaders here at Midtown, along with my husband at the back, that handsome man. I always get up here and tell everybody how handsome he is. That's just, you know, when you have the microphone, you can really say whatever you want, and you have to listen. So we lead the prophetic here at Midtown, and we also lead the worship. We're sort of in charge of scheduling and things like that. And then sometimes we preach and sometimes we MC, and then he does the sound, so we're around. And we have a small group as well. So that's who I am. And today we are talking about city changers. This is the second week of a series that we're doing about it. And so I'm going to be leading this topic today. So, but before I start, I'm going to pray, because it's always good to pray before our sermon, okay? So, Father God, I thank you so much for the worship this morning and for your presence in this place. I just pray right now that you would drop down an increase in Jesus' name. Would you drop down an increase upon the members here? Would you drop down an increase upon me at the front? We'd be able to just get more, Lord Jesus, more, more. You can just, let's just take about 1 minute here. If you know how to speak in tongues, pray in tongues. If you don't, just ask for more, more, Lord. Father, just as it was in the upper room on that first day, that Pentecost, we ask for that fire of God to fall down on this place again. Let tongues of fire appear, God. Let us have let's be re-baptized in your presence. Let's have more experience of you. Shaka! Father, let us just have more fire from you, God. More fire. Shaka daramara. Sometimes God comes in like a lamb, and sometimes he comes in like a lion. I got a little bit of lion in me. Hey, God's up to something, and I don't know what it is yet. So I'm just going to start. And then if he changes my mind afterwards, I'll just switch around. Hey, now. Okay. Ah! Oh, gosh. There was one time that I was preaching. We didn't have recording in the back, so Mike just recorded it with video recording. You do not want to see yourself. If you're embarrassed of watching yourself speak, you don't want to see yourself speaking and manifesting. Every once in a while, I just see my head go by the computer screen this way and that way, and I'm like, oh, gosh, please never do that again. Okay. Shaka daramoto rosania daramaso mahi daramotaya daramas shata basokinama. So, city changers. I can't get it out. Okay, God, what do you want to do? Just tell me. Just tell me. Shaka daramana daramasomba dada. Ki dara maria to kotara ba ti shomani te. Hey! Hey! okay, there's people here that have major doubts about who they are. You have major doubts about who you are in God. You see yourself as not being powerful, as not having strength. You don't see yourself really as a child of God. You see yourself mainly just sort of like, oh, when you look at other Christians, you're like, oh, they're in God's kingdom. I'm just kind of one of the chorus people in the back. That's the way you don't see the strength that you actually have. And I prayed this over two different people this morning, and I feel it's something that we should all even try to keep doing. It's that I want you to start seeing yourself as God sees you, meaning see yourself in the spiritual realm. See what your spiritual body looks like. This is what I look like in the physical, right? In the spirit, I look kind of the same, but a lot better. In the spirit, I know that I have more power than in the, like, my muscles, I'm not good even flex, but look, I'm not that big. But in the spirit, I know that I am very, very strong. In the spirit, I know that my hair has powers. Because God is in every cell of my body. So you don't have any limitations, like your hair can do things. If I don't know if you ever noticed, but sometimes when I really get in prophetic mode, if I'm wearing a ponytail, I have to take it out. And this is only because I see myself in the spirit as that every part of my body is prophesying and has something that it can give. So when you see, I want you just to take a second. And this is what I did with someone this morning as well. You have your physical body here. I want you to imagine your spiritual body standing right or sitting right in front of you and looking back at you. And what do you see? What are you seeing? Most people, you start to get a bit of a translucent kind of glow about your skin. It's almost like there's this hue that comes on your face or on your body, around your body. You get more of like a brighter, rosier complexion. When you really get more and more involved in God and you really get in those areas of prayer, your physical countenance starts to change. You actually do begin to look more youthful. It's like Moses, right? He had to wear a veil across on his face. It's because he was so into the power of God that he became that light. He became God's light shining through his body. In your spiritual self, what is your hair doing? What's your hair like? Is it pulsating with the life? For some of you, I see that it could even be like almost have like gold sparkles all throughout it. I think some of you might be seeing that. Your eyes are usually quite a bit more intense of a color than you already have. And they're very piercing. They're very piercing. This is something that I think like maybe commonly we all have, but what kind of weapons do you have in your hand? That's what I'm interested in. What kind of weapon do I got? Because trust me, you need it sometimes, right? What kind of weapons do you have? If you don't have any weapons, look around you on the ground. Are they lying down? Maybe you should start picking them up. 1,000 pages? I don't know. Oh. But do you have, like, you know, a weapon that you should be using? And, you know, what is... If you can just imagine, like, what would your spiritual self be saying to you? Like, what would they be drawing you into? What are they calling you forth to do? What are they trying to prove to you that they can do? Because I think a lot of the times we set limitations on ourselves, not realizing that our spirit is actually a lot more powerful because it is so in tune with God. It's not because of us, it's because we can be so in tune with God that we can have all this power just surging through us. And when we realize this, when we come to realization and then start to see ourselves a little bit differently, we really see that we do have the power and the know-how to move forth and to be a city changer, to start to change something around us. We can change our circumstances. we can change, you know, the family dynamic around us. Because we have God. Okay, I'm going to keep going on here, but, you know, still just sort of think about that. Just keep thinking about that. Do it. Just discover more about yourself today. Discover what you're capable of. You know, when you hear the word city changers, it can seem very daunting. Like for me, I was like, oh, wow, a city changer. That's kind of big. You think of, well, Jay was mentioning last week, you think of Heidi Baker and Billy Graham, Jerry Anderson, the president of LARED, Nikki Gumbel, he wrote the Alpha Course. You think of all these people that have done great and mighty things, and you're like, I don't want to think I can do that. You know, I don't want to lead a crusade. So you automatically, you sort of put yourself down as, sorry, you know, I can't be a city changer. I'll just be a, you know, maybe a neighborhood changer, or maybe a family changer, or the person next door changer, but a whole city, you know, is a little bit overwhelming. Well, hopefully we're going to get rid of that idea today. And I want, this is like a real time for you just to, again, as I said, I want you to realize who you actually are and what you're capable of. So this verse is given to us. This verse will be sort of used across all CTS campuses. And we're starting, it's Acts chapter 9, verse 36 to 43. So if you have your Bible, you can turn to it. And if not, we rarely bring our Bibles just because our children rip the pages if they're trying to sit on us. So we just do well listening. But if you do have it, you can follow. So again, that's 9, verse 36 to 43. It said, in Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which when translated is Dorcas, who was always doing good and helping the poor. But that time she came sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in the upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, please come at once. Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All of the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning toward the dead woman, he said, Tabitha, get up. I love prayers in the Bible. They're really to the point. They're straightforward. They don't take a long time. It's just, Tabitha, get up. She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called the believers and the widows and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. So the story then is of Dorcas. And you really... You don't really hear too much about her. She's somebody that maybe could sort of slip by, and, you know, she's not the Moses that we're all taught about, the Daniel. You know, it's just like a small passage, but yet here she is in the Bible. So what can we learn from this small passage about who she was? Well, in verse 36, it says that she was a disciple. It also says that she was always doing good and helping the poor. In 39, she made robes and other clothing for a community. And we know that she died, and that we know that she was raised back from the dead. So that's all sort of the facts that we have about her, just those small little points. But now I want you to take it a step back, and I want you to start to read between the lines, so to speak, of what's going on here. We can actually learn a lot more about her than what you may initially thought if you just take time to think about it. In verse 38 to 39, it says that she was loved. For two disciples came to Peter and asked for help. And when Peter arrived, the widows were all standing around her and crying. Not only that, but they were showing the robes that Dorcas had made. They were showing them to her. So we can sort of deduce from that she was really well-liked and she was well-loved because people wanted to see her raised from the dead again. They wanted her back. You know, this might seem kind of like a weird question to ask yourself, but... You know, if you were to go, Would people call you back? You know, do you have that love with people around you? I can promise you, we would be praying. Everybody in this room would be praying for you to come back. There's not none person in here, so you should just know that right off the bat. We'd all be praying. But, I mean, it's just an example. I don't want you to get into a morbid thought about that. It's just an example of how much that this person was loved. And that, you know, they were showing the robes, so they really admired her work. She obviously did good work. Because you wouldn't be showing off a garment that you didn't really like. You know, it didn't say, and she made clothes for people, and, you know, they thought she did a good try or something like that. You know, it says that they were showing and displaying these garments that she had. So, I mean, she must have been pretty impressive with that. And I'm thinking, too, that Dorcas, she must have been really generous. Because it said that she was always doing good and helping the poor. So she must have been generous with her time, I'm assuming probably with money. You know, if she was making garments for widows and things like that, at that time, widows wouldn't have necessarily had a lot of money, right? Because especially if they had no children or anything like that, like they had like a lower standing. So they may not be able to afford to like pay the best price for a robe, but there she was making robes for the widows. You know, and just the fact that her name is in the Bible, that must tell something about her already. Not just anybody makes it into the Bible. Did you know that? Or the Bible would be very, very long. Right now it's just long. But it'd be extremely long. Because, you know, there's so many miracles that would have happened. There's so many things it says, you know, that all the miracles that Jesus has performed would not be able to hold within all the books in all the world. But here it is, Dorcas, in these passages, she's mentioned. So to me, that she's in there, that means she must be quite a lady. To say that she was always doing good and helping the poor is quite a lady. You know, she was a seamstress. That's kind of like a working class today. She was just, you know, a working class lady doing her job, but doing it well. So learning from Dorcas' life, well, how can we apply that to us? What is it that you are doing in your current life? Where are you working? Are you doing it well? Are you showing the love of God? Are you always doing good and helping the poor? What are you doing? You know, are you using your gifts to go a little bit beyond yourself? Are you sort of pushing the limits? Or are you poisoning the water hole? Which one are you doing? And, you know, we have such a great opportunity. This is Thanksgiving. We have a chance to be with our families and things like that. And so for some of us, this is one of the hardest times is being with our families. You know, but what are you doing while you're with your family? Are you showing God's love? You know, I don't want you to think that makes you a doormat or anything like that. That doesn't mean that everybody can come and just throw all kinds of junk at you, but if they do throw junk, are you showing love in return and not retaliating? Standing firm for who you are, standing up for yourself, but not retaliating. And are you quick to forgive? This is how we become changers of the city. You know, we're changing the area of influence around us. Just think about how many people does each individual in this room know? So how many people would I influence in a day? How many people would I come across? All those people around me, I have the power to bring some change to, right? Because I can show God's love and maybe just impact a few people. Well, if everybody in this room right now has let's say even just 20 or 30 people that they may influence a day, then how many people is that? You know, and if every Christian or every member even just of CTF was to go out and just have a power of influence, maybe over 30 people, well, this is how you start to change the city. You know, you do need those people preaching the gospel and yelling it from the rooftops and preaching it to thousands in a crusade, but you need to take that moment where people may go and bring it into the practical life, and that's where you find us, because that's where we are. You know, a lot of us in here, we have jobs. You know, you bring it to your work. I just got way off course of my notes. I don't even know what... I might just keep talking. Leave that. But those are the, you know, those are the areas that we can really find that we can really influence. Because also when you go to one of those big, powerful meetings, they are incredible. And you do have an amazing experience. But so often people are taken out of that. They're putting back into their regular lives and they don't know what to do. And they don't know where to go, and they don't know how to act. And then some of the fire that's built up in there, because you're in such a thick presence of God, when you step out of it, it starts to lessen a little bit. And then you're a little bit back in your own head. And then you start thinking, did that really happen? Was that really right? And that's when you need people like us, who are people that are experienced, to say, yes, it did happen. And then to do the follow-up, the follow-through. You know, so everybody needs that. So I just want you to realize that your job then, even if you're not up front speaking, is very important. Because you may have not planted the seed, but you're helping it to grow. You're cultivating it. And, well, you know, if you have a seed but no one supplies any rain, no one has any, you know, doesn't help to tend it, nothing happens. So really, your job's even more important, you see? Realize who you are. Realize what you're capable of. You know, God has given me some great gifts, and one of his gifts is to be able to hear his voice and speak it out. And trust me, I'm so honored to have that. I love it. I love talking. I really do. And you know, that he would use something that I like to do naturally and bring it out so I can, you know, do it as an honor and as a gift for him, that's incredible. So, you know, I have the honor of, you know, prophesying over people. He also gave me a singing voice, so I like to sing. And that's another way that I can get his word across, especially when I lead worship right here. I love to sing. I'm usually loud, even in the congregation, because I like it so much. And in my house, found out my neighbor heard me singing a bunch of times. He's like, oh, do you sing? Yes, I do. Very loudly, in fact. When we used to live in an apartment, I took singing lessons for a while. Mike would be like, can you just... Because you, when you're taking singing lessons, you really sing loud. But, you know, that's what God uses for me. I have that gift. He also gives me, though, the gift to give people compliments and to be an encourager. I always notice when somebody has a haircut. Even if they just trim their bangs, that's something I pick up on, or they have a new shirt on. I'm aware of people's appearances and what they're wearing and how they're wearing it, and even earrings, things like that. I just notice. And, you know, I'll try to, if I notice, I try to make sure I compliment. And especially in the checkout line, when you're grocery shopping or something, I love to compliment the cashier. You know, the one girl, I remember I told her she had a very nice voice. And she, oh, thank you. You know, she kind of changes a little bit and kind of smiles. And, oh, that's very nice. You know, and their voice may even try, well, you know, sound a little more softer. Just sort of play into that. But, and then there was this one girl, I remember she was just, you know, bringing us through. She had a really cute short haircut. And I said, oh, I love your hair. And she looks at me. It was like one of the most touching experiences I have. She looks at me, her eyes all change. She goes, thank you. I like your hair too. I said, oh, thanks. And she was just, have a nice day. Like this big, sweet smile all over her face. But, you know, I changed her for that moment. You know, I especially feel bad for cashiers because I've worked, you know, sort of in service, and they're the ones that always get all the complaints. When really, it's not their fault. You know, they didn't know they ran out of Cheerios. You know, sorry. You know, or they didn't know that you didn't have enough money or you didn't have the right coupon or, you know, none of that. And here they are getting yelled at. I remember being in line once, and a lady was yelling not nice things, and I told lady, and anyway, she left. And but then, you know, even just go up to the cashier, and I apologized on behalf of that woman. You know, just because I didn't want her to be poisoned with such a bad experience, I wanted to leave her with a good one. And that's how I change people a little bit. And I just, for those of you, if you know, if you're going to go out and compliment people, you know, I encourage you to do that. I think it's something that we kind of have lost a little bit. Everybody's just a little bit too nervous to say too many nice things to people. They might get the wrong idea. Now, if you're going to cashiers, men, maybe not compliment their appearance, because then you'll be the creepy guy that came that day, and now they even feel weirder. You know, so maybe you want to compliment how great their service was, how fast they were, or thank you for taking the time, or something like that. Women, we can go for the looks, for the girl ones anyways. But, you know, just find, and sometimes it might be, sounds strange, but sometimes I like actually go out with a purpose of finding something. And, you know, I have eyes that see, and I don't find everybody attractive all the time. But in those situations, and I'm being very honest because I think we need to practice this. So you just find something, and you pull that out. You know, because when you often think about it, the world has such a stereotypical way of looking at people that the people that maybe don't fit into that mold probably don't get complimented a lot. So you never know where that compliment's going to take them. And then again, you step back, you say, I'm a city changer. Because you changed somebody else. You have made their life, their day, a little bit better. You know, I always really challenge you, like, what kind of person are you being right now? I always like to ask, like, the real questions. Are you showing love? Are you being kind? And everybody here kind of knows where they're at and what they're actually doing. Are you a gossiper? Are you a complainer? Without lifting your hands, who here is a complainer? Where are you? And what are you complaining about? You know, it seems like, why is she asking? That doesn't sound very nice coming from a leader up front, something like that. But, you know, you're out there, and what are we going to do about it? You know, that's part of being a changer, too. I'll be very honest with you. I complain. Ask Mike. He knows what I complain about, and he knows what I whine about. Do you know that often the area that you're complaining is often an area that God is going to give you an opportunity to step into? Uh-oh. Look at all a little bit of worried faces, but us, some of us leaders, we already know that. You know, you start complaining about it. Great. What can you do to help? That might be the question, too, that will come to you if you start doing that. But, you know, so find the areas, you know, where are your strengths? What gifts and talents has God given you? And are you using them? What are you doing with them? Because honestly, if you're not using them and if you're not doing anything with it and you're not speaking those encouraging words, then no, you won't be a city changer. But I'm addressing this issue because I want this to be, I'm sorry if it doesn't seem that clear, but I want this to be a day where you take sort of those misconceptions that you have about yourself, you take those flaws that may be in your life, and that today would be the day that you start to turn them around and become somebody a little bit better, a little bit different. And this is not to make you feel, my sermons are never meant to make you feel convicted or bad or about who you are or that you're not shaping up to what you're supposed to be. No, it's not like that at all. Because every single person can change a little bit and become a little bit better. I can change a lot. And I need to change a lot. I am not perfection by any means. I have a lot of flaws. I complain sometimes. I talk too much. Not always compassionate. But at least I know where a lot of my flaws are, not all of them, and I'm sure Mike will be happy if you need to ask. He'll be able to inform you of other areas where I can change and become a better person. But that's part of the growth. And I think if you turn around and you actually take time to realize where you could improve, we'd even become more powerful. We'd even become better. We'd even become a greater city changer. Dorcas was a seamstress who was always doing good and helping the poor. And she's in the Bible. Wow. Are you in the Book of Life? Always doing good or trying your best to always do good and help the poor. whatever that may mean in your particular realm of helping out to those around you. It could be the poor in spirit, might be the poor financially. But we have just such incredible opportunity, and I want you to now sort of to close off. I want you now to take time again like we did at the beginning and again really look at your spiritual self. And what do you see? Do you see your strengths? Do you see where there's maybe some weaknesses? Let's set down those weaknesses. You know, give those weaknesses to God so that he can turn them into a strength. So take time, just look at yourself. And I want you to really realize that you do have the power to change the city around you. You do have that capability. You can do that by being very effective in your job. You can show graciousness. You can be the one that does not gossip. You can be trustworthy, being on time. All those little things, you know, all those actions just sort of add up to be such a great and powerful influence on people. God doesn't expect you to be perfect, but you can start walking towards that goal. And that's not setting yourself up for failure, but it's like, you know, you start to move towards perfection, which is Jesus. And the closer you get to him, the closer you are to that perfection. But it's not about striving. It's not about trying to do in your own power the things that are good and right. It's just focusing on Jesus. And he, being so close, the closer you get to him, you're just automatically made even greater, made even better. It really, really is a good deal. All you have to do is love Jesus. And he will love you back and fix you up. So let's be city changers in that way. You know, some of you, I think, probably are called to do something more. Some of you may be called to speak to the masses or do mission work, things like that. But for those of you who don't feel that, it doesn't mean you have any less of a position here. I'm going to pray. Father God, I just pray today that you would show everybody their potential, that they would be able to see the strengths that they have and the way that they are able to influence and change the city around them. I just ask that you would take away all elements of fear, of shyness, of embarrassment, to really show who you are, God. And I ask that you would give people boldness and courage and strength, and that they would be able to pour out the love of God on those around them, and that we would see this city of ours, this Toronto, we would see it change. God, we thank you that we can belong to such a wonderful church here, you know, that we're part of the whole CTF, and that, you know, it is a church that's really expanding and growing. And God, we do want to see this city changed. Because eventually you're coming back, and what a reward it would be for us to lift up this jewel of Toronto and say, look what we did for you. Look what we were able to accomplish through you, God. We want to see our city changed. We want to see hearts turn to you. We want to see hearts turn to the Lord. You know, when people start turning to God, that ends prostitution. You know, the love of God that ends theft and murder. That love of God can just pour and wash a whole city of its sins. Do you know the love of God can even help stop pollution? It makes prettier flowers. It makes taller trees. You know, you can change your city. Father, I even pray, this might sound different to some, but I even pray that the houses of people that live, you know, from this church, where they live, would start to breathe God, that their plants would be the best plants on the street, And when people ask, how do you grow such good plants? You say, because I pray for them. Let that be a testimony as well. Let the area around their houses be free of theft. So people say, how are you so protected? Because I pray for God, to God each day. That's how I'm protected. That, you know, their houses would just take on the love of God. And then that would be just a beacon. That would just be a sign. And wherever they walk, wherever they step in their workplace, that they would have such organization. People say, how do you stay so organized? Because I have Jesus organizing my mind, my body, my soul, my spirit. He's organizing. Let every question they ask about something positive that we do, let it be able to us to say thank you. We'll say, you know, thank you for that compliment, and it's because I have Jesus in my life. And we just thank you that we will change this city through you, God. Toronto's already seen a great change. Canada's already witnessing change. We just ask that, you know, as we were praying before, that there's the second wave would just come crashing and hit us hard, and that we'd see more and more people turn to God. We thank you for this series of City Changers. We continue. We just pray for whoever's speaking it in other churches today or whoever's speaking it next week, that you would just help them to tune into the flow of what you want to say, and that by the end of this topic that we would feel so encouraged and so motivated to go out and actually see change in our city. So Father, we just thank you. And we lay it all out for you, God. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Carrie. That was awesome. And I just believe that really what changes things is the glory of God upon us. Do you know that every flaw that we have, God turns it into our weakness into a strength? Because we can testify that I used to have a problem with drugs and alcohol, and God set me free. I used to have a problem with anxiety and have nervous breathing, and I would not be able to go to work, but God set me free. And you can just say, and what he does is he takes our weaknesses and he turns them into strengths. Because his glory is glorious. His glory is redemption. And I pray that each one of us today would take the glory of God, which is his love and his redemption, and we would give it away to this city and the world, and it would change things. It would change us and everything around us. And I praise you, Lord, that the glory is here, and that we can praise you in glory. And the Bible says that in the glory of your presence that we become changed, that you change us into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, and that through that change that we're able to do even greater works than he did.
All right, let's stand. We're just going to say